Shabbat Shalom u'mevorach. Warmest greetings from Jerusalem and Mevaseret Zion and also Yad HaShmona from the saints of Jerusalem, your brethren. It's a privilege for us to be here, especially after I became emissary of Tikkun, it's a historical place, very significant one. So I'm very happy that I can share my heart today with you. It's a very important, significant time now. As you heard already, we are starting to read from Dvarim, from Deuteronomy, and in a couple days we'll have 9th of Av, day of fast and mourning. And I believe that all the story of Israel being released from Egypt, Mitzrayim, and coming all the way for 40 years through the wilderness to the promised land, it's very significant for us as a Messianic Jews. When we start to read Dvarim a little bit earlier, we can see that it's a retrospective view back. Moshe tries to understand what's went wrong, what was right before God. But the main point is that God was leading his people to the goal to enter the promised land. And in today's parasha, we can read from chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8. Adonai spoke to us in Horeb. He said, "You have lived long enough by this mountain. Turn, get moving, and go to the hill country of the Amori and all the places near there," and so on. The word which really touches my heart is "get moving." I believe that's the message to the Messianic body all over the world, starting from Jerusalem. Get moving. These words are for us and to us. And how can we not mention the wonderful place from Acts? It is extremely tight situation, extremely filled with everything, where the lives could break, where the lives could be restored. Messiah, who was walking with them, teaching them, tutoring them, just was leaving in unexpected way. Nevertheless, they knew about him, knew him personally. They were overwhelmed. I would say that from time to time they were petrified. They didn't know how to respond. But God wanted them to respond. He definitely knew everything and could put it into their hearts. But he wanted them to respond, them to react. Keep moving, keep going. And in chapter 1, verse 11, we are suddenly seeing two men dressed in white standing next to the Talmidim disciples. And please listen carefully what the men were to say. "You Galileans, why are you standing, staring into space? This Yeshua who was being taken away from you into heaven will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The main message, puenta, as we say in Hebrew, is don't be petrified. Don't look into the past so much. Continue to go. Continue to follow. Don't stand on the same place. This is exactly the message we just read from Deuteronomy. It's a message to us. Whatever happens around us. And I came from Middle East, which is not peaceful. Never was like this. We had, as our enemies, we had the armies. Now we have the myriads of terrorists who are today fighting with each other, and they are planning to destroy us tomorrow. It's a very tense situation, very fragile. But from the other side, dear friends, we feel encouraged. We understand more and more that no weapon created against Israel will not prosper. And God wants us really not to look around, but look unto Him. He is with us. He is comforting us. He is giving us energy. He is giving us blessing and encouragement. To live in the Middle East, it's impossible, dear friends, when only friendly border we have is Mediterranean. We are surrounded by from all the directions, and it is given to us that our faith will grow. We are very proud with our army, with our intelligence, with our boys who are defending us with weapons. And one of you is also defending. We met Jonathan there. He is a soldier in IDF. And there are many other boys. Our son is going next year, God willing, to the army. We are really respecting them. But we are watching God. We are trusting the Lord. Sometimes we hear that there is no more safe place in the world than Israel. And you know, dear friends, that's true. Because Israel is, as you know very well, is the apple of His eye. And He is protecting Israel. So, if you want safety, think about Aliyah. Think about coming to your homeland. It's very important. So, God was saying, don't stop. Get moving. And we read from 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11, Adonai, your God, has multiplied your numbers, so that there are as many of you today as there are stars in the sky. May Adonai, the God of your ancestors, increase you yet a thousandfold and bless you, and He has, as He has promised to you. No, this is a feeling we have that something very significant happened in Israel in the last 20 years. By God's grace, we have had privilege to be testimony of what was happening, to be witnesses, and to be part of the prophecies God gave and God released to the people. When we came 20 years ago to Israel, the numbers of believers were, let's say, ridiculous. No many Jewish believers. Wonderful Gentile brethren were working hard, but not many Jewish people. And you know what? It's wonderful situation when you realized to be privileged to be part of the testimony. Prophecy. In Deuteronomy 30, we are not reading 30 today, but we will read in a short time. God is giving outstanding picture of our history and our future. It's so startling, it's so unexpected that Israel was not in the land yet. But God showed everything from the beginning to the end. And He speaks about many things very shortly, like in a nutshell. He speaks that the time will come when Jewish people will be dispersed because they will not follow God. And then He opens up that God's love never ceases. Even He is mourned and He is destroyed by what his people have done, he has a brilliant future for his people. And for the first time, almost for the first time in the Bible, he speaks about the second art of circumcision. There is a fleshly circumcision which has a tremendous meaning and which holds us together even today and tomorrow and yesterday. But there is another circumcision of heart. And God puts it in connection with returning and restoration of the land. He said that these Jewish people, it's 30 verse 6, you can follow, 30, he will circumcise the hearts of those whom he will bring back home. And you know what? I would not speak about it. And I know many people are reading these verses and they are not telling them anything. It happened to us. We were saved in 91 together, Julia and myself, after we met the first believer in our life. And that's true what Doc told you. Before that, I used to be a scientific atheism teacher at the university, which means that I taught my student that God, and it's scientifically proved, doesn't exist. He can't exist. I don't know, God, with all his mercy and love, came into our life and changed it completely. Rather than go, praise God. Rather to go forth with our scientific careers and have a peaceful life in Germany, where we were planning to immigrate, God turned everything around, turned tables around in our life. And he didn't want this mess to happen. He wanted us to go to Jerusalem. We were both saved by God's grace, and in 3 months we were already in Jerusalem. And you know, there are about 1 million people like us from the former Soviet Union. We came from Estonia, the others came from Ukraine and Russia, Belarus and Kazakhstan and many other places. And few of them have a very similar testimony. You know, similar in God's grace, not similar in the details. This immigration is tremendous. This Aliyah from the country of the north was predicted in Prophet Jeremiah 23 and 16. You can look it up. And God says the same words that when he will bring his people back, he will save them on the way, on the road. So these statements given as sharp prophecy in Deuteronomy 30 are repeated many times in other prophets. God is very serious. This Aliyah, Russian Jews, brought a lot of good things to Israel. And, you know, it's incredible that about the fifth part of Knesset in Israel are Russian-speaking people. The biggest political party is partly Russian. God is giving mercy to the Russian immigration. But the greatest mercy is that God is changing the hearts. God is bringing revival to Israel. I don't know whether you will agree with me or not, but two aliyahs from Russia and from Ethiopia changed the face of Israel. Holy Spirit was released. God himself was and is going in front of his people. You know, he is not leaving these processes just to go by themselves. He is participating in them. And there are still many people in the Soviet Union who will come, former Soviet Union, who will come to Israel, because that's the will of God. And today we have a different body of Messiah in Israel than 20 years ago. I started with mentioning that there were not many people around. You know, when God is moving, He is releasing Holy Spirit. Today, God is touching the hearts of Israelis. And here, I believe that we have to be reminded about God's heart. And expression of this is in Zechariah 10, verse 1. Ask Adonai for rain in the spring. Adonai, who makes the rain clouds, and He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field to each one. Pay attention to each one. God wants us to ask rain in due time, in spring, not later, not little bit later, but just in the time when the rains are prepared to go down to the earth. And dear friends, we are like Israelis standing on the brink of entering the promised land, standing on the other bank of Jordan River. We have been fighting. We went through difficulties. We have been suffering, all of us, in the desert. But great things were happening. We have been seeing the pillar of fire, the pillar of light in front of our eyes. We have been experiencing God's presence. We have been making mistakes. But God says, just keep going. Get on the road. Because those who are going are blessed, and God really touches their hearts. And we are really in Israel, and I believe that that's also connected with the body of Messianic Messiah, Messianic body of Messiah in the whole world. We are in the situation close to what I'm trying to describe. And in Zechariah, the same chapter, 10 to 12, we can read, I will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them out of Ashur. I will bring them into Gilead and the Lebanon until there is no more room for them. Can you imagine how beautiful words? Until there will be no room for them. Here I will encourage you to make it faster, because maybe there will not be room for some of us. Trouble will pass over the sea and stir up the waves in the sea. But I will strengthen Israel in Adonai. They will travel here and there in His name. He will strengthen us in Him, and we will be there in His name. Yeah. Few days ago, we have been participating in, conference or seminar of Joel Rosenberg. And he invited in Jerusalem good part of the leaders in the land to come to his conference. And we have been out for 3 years. We lived in New York, so we have a special analytical view. When we came back, we could see the things happening from the side. And I must say that the changes are really great. In this conference, not all the leaders could come, but we saw 250 pastors and elders gathered together. And I would say that probably there are four times more. The number of believers is growing. The congregations are established. In 91, when we came to Jerusalem, there were about 43 Messianic congregations in Jerusalem. Today we have about 30. We have congregations, I could say, in all the towns in Israel, groups, home groups. God is really working and touching the hearts of the people. I will bring you one example how sometimes complicated are the ways of believers. We are ministering to the family of Mikhail. Mikhail came from Azerbaijan about the same time when we came, and he became extremist Jew. He lived in near Hebron in Kiryat Arba, and he was part of illegal group of extremists, something like Baruch Goldstein, if you remember, American Jew who killed about 30 Arabs praying in Machpelah cave. And one day he decided to prove the zeal of his faith to the Lord, and he took a knife and went to Hebron to kill an Arab. At this time, they were going to such extremity that they were taking seriously to study Islam in his group. And he knew about Islam and was attracted by Islam. He found the person, victim, and was close to kill him. And this man said, "Don't kill me, I know the answer to your question." And can you imagine, the answer was Islam. And Mikhail was for 12 years sheikh in Islam. It was a powerful proof to Muslims, if Jewish man becomes converted to Islam, then Islam is right and powerful. We have only few Jewish men who were converted, like Shabtai Tzvi in his time, and today we have only two. One is American Jew who lives now in Morocco, and the second was Mikhail. And little by little, he understood, and God revealed to him the nature of Islam. He didn't know what to do, where to go. He has six children. So one day when he moved out from Hebron and worked in Jerusalem, Arab believers, evangelists, reached him in a gym where he worked, his instructor, coach. And they started to tell him about the necessity for him to turn back to his people. And only after that they said that, "Together with your people, in the midst of your people, with Messiah Yeshua, you can get peace." And 2.5 years ago it happened. He prayed and he repented and he found his way and his truth and his life. Please pray for Mikhail. They are just coming back. They live in Beit Shemesh. They are burning for the Lord, even children who are going to the religious schools. They want to be Jewish. They don't want to be converted to Christianity. They want to be who they are. And our calling in Israel always was to prove through the testimony of love that the Jew not only can, as mistake or confusion, be believer in Yeshua, but that's the rule and the law of the Bible, of Torah, that the Jewish person must be believer in Yeshua. In other words, if you come to the library in Israel and you would like to read about Yeshua, you will never find books about Yeshua in the place where all the history of Jewish people is. Our goal, dear friends, is to bring these books back where they belong. And they belong in Jewish history. This is part of our legacy. This is part of our heritage. And not some other heritage or some other legacy. They must be there where they are. God was working very hard. And today we definitely are looking back to the times of Acts 2. We want to get lesson from these times. Because never ever Never in history so many Jewish people were saved as in times of Acts, by thousands. And you know that. I have no need to tell you about that. Kohens and just simple Jewish people were saved like that. And our goal is to understand what was happening. We were a leading congregation with Julia for 15 years. It was the biggest Messianic Russian-speaking congregation in Jerusalem and Israel. But then God called us to America to learn something, to see Jewish life in America, Messianic Jewish life. And God gave privilege to lead the congregation, Messianic Synagogue in Brooklyn. When we came back, we understood that, yes, we are not in the same place. Many things changed, and in positive direction. But now, when we are satisfied by His work, when we see that He saved many people, we are asking the question, where to go? What to do? And I think that Acts 1st and 2nd chapter gives us some wonderful answers. What to do? First of all, to experience Yeshua. We have to be faithful to His word and not to leave, so to say, Jerusalem, as it said there. We have to take His words as they are. Second, we have to get rid from some prejudices we have. You know, disciples of Yeshua had this prejudice that He is Messiah in traditional way, as their contemporaries were expecting that He will release Jewish people from Roman Empire. But He came for the different goal. He brought real freedom. He brought real circumcision. The circumcision of His heart, of the heart. And we also must get rid of this situation when we are easily getting petrified. We must continue. We must go on to the new developments He has for us, or the new blessing He has for us. Definitely we have to receive Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit and Spirit of resurrection are what we need at most in order to move following Him. And in chapter 2 of Acts, we read, and 1, we read a lot about single-mindedness. And first of all, in prayer. We know the story of Shimon Kepha, Peter, who after the resurrection of Yeshua was still not in peace with himself before the Holy Spirit came on him and he started to preach. And I believe God wants from us the bold preaching. And I tell you what, I am partnering with Revive Israel, with Asher in Trader. We are praying almost daily. In the early morning in Yad HaShmona, this is Messianic village close to Jerusalem. And I have been praying with the other brethren for many Israelis. Israelis are open. They are receiving Yeshua. It's very important. It never was like this. Mostly Israelis were meeting their Messiah outside, abroad. Now the situation changed. Not only Christians are bringing Jewish people to the Lord, but God gives us grace to do it by ourselves in His mercy. Everything must be changed in Israel. Everything must be changed and developed in the Messianic Judaism. You know, we have about 30,000 Russian Jewish people living in Jerusalem and around. And I must tell that what worked 20 years ago, 15 years ago, is not working anymore. The same happens with many Israel. They are coming to the congregations which are built up by traditional Christian patterns, and they don't feel home. They want home. They want to sit around the table to eat a very tasty and very healthy Mediterranean cuisine. And they want to, you know, chat. They want to discuss. They want to talk. They not always are happy with one person preaching like I am doing now. The others are silent. They want to ask me. They want to interrupt me. When we came to Jerusalem, God clearly told us that you will not return to your congregation. He will take care of the congregation. But God has something new for us. And God showed Havura. We are gathering not on Shabbat. We are gathering on Monday night in Binyan Klal, in prayer tower. Maybe some of you have been there. Have somebody been in prayer tower near the marketplace in downtown Jerusalem? It's excellent place where Jerusalem is visible from the 14th floor. And it's made to walk around in perimeter and pray over Jerusalem. So God gave us a magnificent place there. And our goal is to reach out our people. But how can we reach out our people if we don't know each other? If we are not eating and breaking bread as 2,000 years ago together? If we are not carrying one another's burdens to fulfill Torah Mashiach? If we almost don't know about each other anything? If we don't know anything about Jerusalem? God is very concrete. He says, touch the stones of Jerusalem. And when you will love the stones of Jerusalem, something spiritually significant will come. He will take care of that. Yes, we are new. We are only 20 years and 22 years actually in Israel. But God has many things for us. And He wants us to share our hearts. And when we will be ready, when we will be Havura, which can be loved by our own people, we can go out and reach people mostly through love and sometimes through the word. I think that Israeli believers are really in a not easy point, but the point of changes, change of generations, change of methods, where to bring young Israelis who got saved, how to preach gospel to them, how to teach them, how to disciple them. You know, it's a fantastic time. It's a time of changes. It's not time of getting petrified, getting really panic, what we will do, because He is very close and He is leading us. And I think that the Word of God is really helpful. And I believe that there are passwords to our life and which are given in Acts 2:42. They continued faithfully in the teaching of the emissaries, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in the prayers. And in the end, 47, praising God and having the respect of all the people. And day after day, the Lord kept adding to them those who were being saved. Dear friend, there are still many millions of Israelis who don't even know the name of Yeshua to pronounce it correctly, who have their prejudices. There are Russians, there are Ethiopians, and they need salvation. And I believe that the time came also for us to work more together. It's a glorious and wonderful body of Messiah in the United States of America. And God made miracles and changed nothing to something in Israel. We have many believers. We have many leaders. And I believe that we have to change also attitudes to who we are. We are not receivers. We are not those who need to get only from Christians, our brethren. We have potential to give. And the words of Yeshua when he said in Acts 1, but you will receive power 8 of Holy Spirit when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judah and Shomron, indeed to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. This is calling for us. The times when we are getting blessed, we are looking to get blessed, are over. God blessed us so much that we can share this blessing with the others. We are going out. I'm very happy that in Revive Israel, in partnership with Revive Israel, organization led by young believers and usher in trader, I am responsible for Eastern European outreach. Our goal is very simple. I am from Estonia. This place is very important to me and very dear to me. They don't have Messianic congregation. Christian leaders don't know what Messianic Judaism is all about. So God revealed to us, go there and stop the experiences from the past when people try to do something behind the back of the leadership. Just bring something by their own. Talk to the leadership. We are preparing the seminar in October in Tallinn where the leaders of Christian churches will come together and we will share about what is the Messianic Judaism all about. What are the scriptures telling about Messianic Jews and their role, and that in the last days, Acheret HaYamim, the Jewish believers in Yeshua will proclaim Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, and we know this is the only place when he reveals when he will be back in Jerusalem. It will be really this time. We have to share with our brethren about that, and hopefully the Messianic congregation will be also built in Estonia. Please pray for that. We have many places to go. Even such place like Denmark, they have 17,000 Jewish people and no Messianic congregation. There are places where people can't pray as the Jewish believers. There are a lot of places like this. And we have to do it together. So I'm calling you to pray for how God wants to use us together. Israeli believers, Jerusalem saints, and American brothers and sisters in Yeshua the Messiah. God is really willing to show through our love, our faithfulness, us not to be petrified, expecting something bad, but rather expecting something good because God is with us, to continue to go. As it was said, get moving. We have many things to do and we are thankful to God for that. We together, we have to get moving, dear friends. And may God bless you abundantly. Shalom.